You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we're talking about the tragedy at Old Trafford. We try to figure out what's going on with Manchester United, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Also, we show a salute. We show a lot of love. Carly Lloyd retiring her last U.S. Women's National Team game. We talk all about it.
That's right. Plus, we talk to Miguel Berry of the Columbus Crew. We find out one. Turns out he's Cuban. I'm a big fan all of a sudden. He's from Barcelona. What's it like to play with Landon Donovan and learn from Landon Donovan? And also, who is the worst dancer in Columbus? That and more today on the Cooligans.
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby.
Yes. Let's do this. Let's go. Who needs vocal cords?
Nah, fell apart there at the end, baby.
That's right. We fall apart at the beginning. That's what this show is.
Welcome to a show hosted by comedians.
Okay, you want unprofessionalism? We got it for you.
Bruh, we got a whole lot. In fact, take some more, will you?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show right here on Fubo Sports Network.
Yep. Also happens to be the gulliest as well. You feel me? I don't know if you've ever heard us say that before. I feel like I've missed it a couple of times.
Correct. We're excited about today's show, not only because it is jam-packed with the most fun and funny soccer content that there is available, but also we are joined by Columbus Crew forward Miguel Berry a little bit later
today.
That's
right. Look at Christian reading marketing bullet points.
Okay, look, I got the Fubo CEO right in my ear, all right? Yeah.
I remember when I made a PowerPoint, they were like, you know, you don't have to use real bullets for bullet points, right? What am I supposed to do with all these bullets I purchased then?
So, yes, look, where to begin today? Well, let's start in Manchester, because there's this, the theater of dreams, as they say, or
more like a nightmare. Am I right, everyone? I'll see you folks.
Okay. They need to be coming out to, Meek Mill's, dreams and nightmares,
my guy. Yeah.
Because the Old Trafford, there was really a tragedy. Liverpool came through. Mohamed Salah said, you know what? I think, has there ever been a hat trick scored by an opponent in Old Trafford?
I'm sure the first in a very long time.
I'm not sure.
I'm sure this isn't a common occurrence, but I'm sure there has.
Right. But Manchester United are in a little bit of disarray because they've been losing a couple games, but they lost in the most humiliating fashion to a rival. And this is
embarrassing is lightly putting it. This was as bad a loss. If you are Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's therapist and you sat out, look, what's the worst that happens? Liverpool comes in, scores five against it. It's not gonna happen, baby. Like, you know what I mean?
It'll never happen, Doc. You know?
Come on. Stop complaining, buddy. It can't be that bad. This is worst case scenario. And somehow Ole Gunnar Solskjaer still has his job.
And that's really the big shock to a lot of people, that there wasn't that immediate, axe coming down as soon as the ref blew the whistle. So it is what it is. You know, people are angry at the Manchester United board and the Glazers, and how come they won't make the decision that they know that everyone feels need to be made.
Everybody,
they're the only ones that are like, nah, give them a chance, okay? All right? It is a toxic relationship with Ollie and the board, okay?
Like, it's one of those things where, like...
Like, I know him, all right?
I could change him. I know he hurt me, but I love him.
So... So that is his own thing. We will see. Everybody's saying the match against Tottenham is, depending on that result, that will determine whether, you know, Ali has his job the day after that. So we're all on pins and needles waiting to see what happens there.
They're calling it the El Sakiko because Nuno Espiritu Santo also on the hot seat. So, I mean, you know, look, this is going to be a hot seat-a-thon.
It is. If you took the Tottenham job, knowing Harry Kane was like, I don't want to be here. Yeah, like,
you know what it was.
I don't feel sympathy for anybody who took that job in that situation.
You know, in the beginning of the match, when the managers go over and shake each other's hands, they're like, oh, best of luck today, blah, blah, blah. You think they're going to be like, yo, you want to swap?
little coach swap. All
come
right.
on, huh? I think that appreciate you here. This will buy me a couple months to kind of figure out what to do with my apartment.
I'd watch that reality show. I watched a couple episodes of Wife Swap. That was exciting. Yeah, right? You're like, ooh, is something gonna happen? You know,
what was it? What was the show where they swapped apartments, trading places? Let's go.
So there's a lot of layers around around this match and everything going on with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. One, Paul Scholes. Paul Scholes was on, obviously, Manchester United legend, England legend, was on Sky Sports the day Manchester United came back against Atalanta. They were down 2-0, ended up winning 3-2. An incredible thing. It showed a lot of heart, but he was the one that was keeping it real. He was like, who cares about this comeback or whatever? Why were we so bad in that first half? And he made the point clear, like, if we play like this against Manchester City or Liverpool, if we play like this against Liverpool, we're going to be giving up a bunch of goals in the first half. He said this before the game, and bang, they give up 4 goals in the first half. So Paul Scholes, he sees it. He sees what's going on.
I'm married to someone who, you know, has crystals and whatnot. You know what I mean? So I understand what this is. This is called manifesting. And my guy manifested a big old L.
He's like, I want to prove my point. And it was proven. Obviously the issues in the midfield and giving up all these goals, but Paul Scholes, when I saw that, I was like, well, Paul Scholes should be the manager. He can see it before it even happens. I think we need this man.
Which I remember, if I remember correctly, that's what he did in the midfield. You know what I mean? He had that good vision, you know?
Right. And this is also a very weird part because during this saga, all this news about Manchester United, Paul Scholes made the news for another reason because...
Well, people were like, hey, Paul, maybe you shouldn't be throwing stones. You know what I mean? Because you've got a few things that are also Ole-esque, you know? There's a picture of him. His daughter apparently is a famous netball player. Do you know what netball is?
Is that like badminton? What is that?
No, it's like a basketball rim with no background. And you're only allowed to, you can't dribble. You can only pass or shoot once you receive the ball. It's big in England and in Australia. I only know this because on a pizza tour, there was a family on it and the daughter, people were like, Australians were like, oh my God, mate. You know what? I don't know, have an Australian accent, but they were like, crikey, is that, you know? And people were freaking out about this girl. And I said, why are you famous to only Australians? She's like, I'm like the best netball player of all time. And I was like, the hell is that? And she was like, you've never heard of netball? I was like, no, you know? And she showed me what it was. So apparently, Paul Scholes' daughter also does the same thing. And I think maybe having short toenails helps in the sport. Because what Paul Scholes, and everyone's saying he's like a weirdo, I just think he's a good trainer. You know what I mean? And he's making sure his daughter is in tip-top shape by cutting her toenails. The problem people have is that he's doing it with his mouth.
He's using his teeth to to cut his daughter's toenails. And I get if maybe this is allowed if she's like a newborn, you know, like maybe 2-3 weeks in. You don't have a nail clipper and you're trying to help your child.
If I had a baby and I left it with you and then I walked in and saw you, quote unquote, cutting its toenails with your mouth, I'd say, Christian trying to eat my baby. I would not think like, oh, look at that. He's cutting his toenails. The hell are you talking about? You can't use your mouth on a kid's toes unless, I don't know, it got bit by a snake and you're sucking the venom out. That's like the only time I would ever assume you put a kid's foot in your mouth.
There has to be an age that there's a cutoff. There has to be a point where Paul's like, this is, honey.
Born is the cutoff.
You're too old for this. And also taking a photo, getting it on the internet. You know, there's too many creeps out here that are, they're using it. They're filing it, okay? So
she's old enough to have thirst traps on the internet. That's too old for you to be, because you know what's happening is his teammates are probably texting him like, can I be next? You know what I mean? You damn freaks.
No, dude. This is Paul. We're here for the punditry. We're here for the punditry, not the mani pedis. Okay,
you know what? Stop. And also, it's called a mani pedi, not a daddy pedi. Yo, Christian, let's talk about an absolute legend. All right. Okay. She is hanging up her boots. She's calling it quits. Carly Lloyd. I mean, what could we possibly say about Carly Lloyd that hasn't already been yelled by an announcer as she's scoring goals against women's national teams all over the country? All over the world,
end of a glorious career, obviously. I mean, she played her final U.S. Women's National Team game against, you know, in Minnesota against Korea. And, you know, it was an emotional,
she played a game against North Korea.
Crazy. You know, you got to shut them down.
For the country. This is a real patriot, folks.
Yes. I'm like, I was surprised how malnourished they were, those athletes. But the impressive thing here is, I was shocked at how emotional I was watching her play. Everyone, obviously, they interviewed her parents in during the game. They are, obviously showing all the different highlights and everything that across her career. And when it comes to, when you think about one of the most loyal and just like a soldier, a servant to the 100%. U.S. soccer, and really just like wanting to win and just so focused on bringing World Cups and bringing Olympic gold medals. And you can't really think of anyone, that did that more than Carly Lloyd.
Yeah, I mean, one of them, like, if you ask the question, like, how did Carly Lloyd change soccer forever? Like, undoubtedly she has. But I mean, you could look at accomplishments like, a hat trick in a World Cup final. You know what I mean? Like, pretty balling. But like one of the things that I think for me, when you get a sense of who she is, you can tell from the way she plays. You can tell from her, the way she answers questions after the fact, the way you see her in social media videos with some of the other teammates. She's a very, like, sort of focused, laser-focused, very determined human being, But one of my favorite moments was when we went to the Women's National Team Media Day just before the last World Cup. And it was in the Twitter offices. And all the players, would sit around. Obviously, we're good friends with Ally Krieger, so we hung out with her a little bit, talked to Rose Lavelle. We tried to get as much content as possible. But then, as we're sort of leaving, we see Carly Lloyd coming down the stairs. And I was like, hey, yo, Jersey. And I put my hand up. And she was like, what? Like, she was kind of like, but she high-fived me as casually and as lightly as someone who did not want to high-five me. And yet my hand was throbbing. I mean, she doesn't even use her hands in the sport, and somehow her hand was brick. But like, the point of that is like the presence that she had. I'm like, no defender in the world stands a chance. There's a level of intensity there that I'm like, I can't, we're not even in a game. It's unmatched.
Yeah. The competitive spirit is there on the pitch. It is at Starbucks. It is everywhere. That's the first thing. If you have ever had the opportunity to speak to Carly Lloyd and be in front of her, there's nothing about her that suggests that this is not the most intense moment of your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah. So you're like, I think I've done this person wrong in a past life.
have I crossed you somehow? You know, I mean,
do I owe you money, Carly? Because I will take care of those arrears right now in front of you.
But I mean, the amount of success and moments that she has brought to American soccer fans is just outstanding. I mean, obviously, you know, the biggest highlight and biggest memory is clearly that 2015 World Cup. I mean, kicking, getting a goal from half field.
I was going to say that's my moment as well. That's my favorite Carly Lloyd moment, because see that and you're just like, it doesn't matter. Look, the goal sizes aren't different in women's sport. You know what I mean? There's not less or more players. There's someone who's, you remove everyone off the field, and I don't think I could hit a 50 yard shot in a goal.
Yeah. It's incredible. I mean, look, we've had the privilege of getting to interview a lot of U.S. women's national team players, current and former, and so where do we put Carly? Where, if we have to rank, you know, she, even in her in her farewell speech at Allianz Field, she was like, you know, she said, thank you to everybody, even the doubters, even the critics, because you fueled me to get me to where I am. So, you know, maybe this is, you know, where we rank her might be the disrespect from the Cooligans, but where does Carly rank in U.S. women's national team, you know, lore?
Let's just say that's the most Jersey thing you could do right there. Is right. To thank the people who've disrespected you along the way, because I did this to spite y'all. We got that in our blood, fam. You know what I mean? That's who we are. I think if you look at strikers, it's hard, right? Because if you look at Abby Wambach, I mean, the power and the aerial ability is, you know, bar none. But when I look at Carly, I look at someone who I would consider a total package. It shocks me that throughout her career, she just didn't start sliding back positions, because I could see her being such an effective midfielder, and I could see her being an incredibly good center back as a leader, and just would not allow anyone to get past her. So she's one of those players where I'm like, if you look at it, the way people talk about Paul Scholes, not in this episode, like the way people talk about him, like, you know, he was just one of those midfielders that you could knock off the ball and knew exactly what to do and made the right pass at those right moments. That's kind of how I view Carly Lloyd. Always making the right run, always knew where to go. And if you give her just a slight window, if she could see just a little bit of light behind you, she's not going to go past you.
Yeah, and she has had a little bit. She's had an interesting career as far as, like, she did play in the midfield years ago, and now obviously now she plays up top. But I think the most impressive thing is, she doesn't look like she should be retiring. There's nothing about her game right now where you're like, oh, you know, she's on her last leg. She's still bodying NWSL defenders regularly. She's still putting herself in great, great positions. So it's almost like,
even internationally,
are you leaving too soon? You know,
right? Like, play to your 50. You got a couple more years in you. Sign another contract. Get out there.
But no, they obviously still a lot of game left. Gotham FC had opportunity to secure a playoff position, secure a home playoff game possibly, and then you know, hopefully we get to see her in the playoffs. You know, who knows?
Gotham FC games. This might be your last opportunity to see Carly Lloyd, a legend.
And let's go. All right, Alexis, did you see this? Because Tim Melia is making a case. He's making a challenge for the WWE Intercontinental Championship,
because he was Raw or the night before,
because he laid the smackdown on Christian Roldan in a match recently. Obviously, Seattle playing against Sporting Kansas City, and goalkeeper Tim Melia decided, you know, there was a scrum. He's trying to go for the ball inside the box. Apparently, when
Roldan is like boxing him out inside of his own goal, and he's trying to get him out of the way so he can play goalkeeper, you know?
Yeah. And so the way he chooses to alleviate this situation is by giving Roldan the rock bottom. He literally grabs him, throws him to the ground. It is clearly violent conduct. You really shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, it's not wrestling moves. Typically, you don't find them inside of the arena known as a soccer game. You know what I mean? It's not very often found. And you know, you got players like Griezmann who just kicked a dude in the face and stuff. You see that because it's like you kick things. You know what I mean? You've seen players collide heads. I've never seen someone just pick a dude up and instead of moving him or pushing him, just completely body slamming them against the ground and then getting back up like nothing happened. which way am I going? Where's the ball coming from?
You know, because goalkeepers definitely have almost like quarterbacks to some degree where you have to like protect the quarterback and, you know, you can't be as aggressive with a quarterback or a goalkeeper as you can sort of with other players. Like they usually,
which is fair. You know, you've got players that are running at them. They're the ones that are standing there. So you can't, you have to protect them.
It's like the goalkeepers usually have like the right of way, if we're thinking in traffic terms, right? But
that's the way all of us were thinking.
in this scenario, obviously I get that he's trying to get to the ball. He clearly went too far. But then the controversy really started, you know, not only because he was not given a red card, but I think he just received the yellow card, but everybody's tweeting about it. Everybody's like, look what Team Media did. This is crazy.
It went viral.
And then it went even more viral when The Rock, it was a connection through, I believe, Fox Sports, tagged The Rock in this. The Rock responded, talking about...
He thought it was clean. You know, he was
quality,
like, hey, that's a good example.
Rock bottom.
Yeah.
All right.
He's like, y'all know what we did was scripted, though, right?
But then this is when, obviously, a lot of people were upset because then MLS's social media was, you know, tweeting about it, kind of.
They did the, holy shit, is someone talking about us?
Yeah,
Yeah.
Being real cheeky about it. And look, when one of the most famous people on the planet tweets at you, I'm not that angry. I understand what they were trying to do here.
A couple of months ago, people were saying he could be president. Remember that? They were like, yo, The Rock could be president. Now, future president might be tweeting at you. You know what I mean? I don't understand the argument to me is like when someone says something racist and then people are like, you're racist. And everyone's like, oh, come on. Why are you calling him racist? That's not the part y'all should be upset about. A man body slams somebody or whatever. Yeah. Rock bottom. I don't know anything about wrestling. But a dude slams somebody to the ground and y'all mad that that the league tweeted about it?
Right.
He did it. He did it in a game. This is one of the highlights.
And Emilia is suspended. But the fact that I think people, the frustration is that you're using somebody's possible, you know, Rodan luckily was not injured and everything was fine. But you're using this violent conduct in promotional materials to make the league look cool and fun. And especially Sounders fans, I can understand from their perspective. It's like, why are you using this? In try to promote the game and the league when this is a thing that is bad. This should not make the league look good.
Look at the context of it though. It's a popular wrestling move from a extremely popular wrestler. Might possibly be the biggest movie superstar in the world right now.
Right.
Had he just punched the dude in the face, you know, they're like, oh, that's like a murderer. You know, I don't think they'd be tweeting about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's an element of fun to this. Whether
I could see
if you're a Sounders fan, you may not find that connection. I understand.
There has to be. I would say that everybody, regardless of there's some scenario where something bad could happen and a very famous celebrity could tweet about it where you're like, okay, it's worth the engagement. We gotta weigh the pros and cons here and you gotta look long term and we gotta think about the future.
I'm just real quick. I looked up Dwayne Johnson's Twitter, 15.4 million. Okay. 15.4 million. Now, Major League Soccer, how much do you think they are?
They're like a little over 3 million.
Okay. At MLS is 3.3. That's 5 times. let me tell you something. If I go out and my pants are ripped off by me closing the door and my pants getting stuck in them and my wife drives off and that video of that leaks, that's embarrassing for me. You know what I mean?
Right.
If The Rock retweets that, I'm telling everybody it happened. You feel me? That is now fodder. So I don't care what you're talking about.
Yeah,
50.4 million, The Rock.
You gotta, you know, turn this negative into a positive. It is, look, I mean, I get it. I get the frustration. But I'll be honest with you, the MLS social media person got a raise that day. They're like,
100%.
Well done. Okay, you're doing it
buddy,
right.
There is a moment in a meeting showed engagement, and let's just say it's way up, okay? This kid's killing it.
Okay, so we got Miguel Berry of Columbus Crew coming up. A lot of big matches, you know, the playoffs, the MLS playoffs are coming soon, so we'll talk to him all about that.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this podcast episode. We just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors. Actually, it's us, and it's our Twitch channel.
That's right. You know, you've seen us on Fubo TV. You've listened to us on the podcast. Maybe you've clicked like on one of our personal seductive photos on Instagram. Okay?
You know how we love those thotty pics.
Okay. We know the game, all right? We're not going to...
Anything for likes and views, baby.
Yo, that's what you got to do nowadays. But we're also on Twitch. We live stream... every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time for Prem Show. But we do other stuff as well. We do watch-alongs. We interview people. We play FIFA. And we're going to be doing a lot more stuff on there. So join us on Twitch. Hit the follow button. It is free.
That's right. So just go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans or make it easy for yourself and just go to eltwitche.com. That's eltwitche.com. And that'll bring you right to our account. And hit that follow button right now. What you waiting for?
I'm in Columbus, downtown Columbus, yeah.
All right, Christian, our guest is finally here.
Let's go. Okay.
Let's go.
Yeah. I'm excited about this. We call him Young Phenom out here. Okay.
You know, young man all the way from Barcelona. And then he went from Barcelona to Columbus, which is what everybody from Barcelona wants to do. You know what I mean?
I mean, there was a lot of San Diego between that, but
yeah, that's right. But you know, when you're a kid in Barcelona, you're growing up, where do you want to vacation? I want to go to Columbus, Ohio. You feel me? But he's out there scoring goals, doing his thing. Came from the lower leagues, worked his way up. Now he's getting them buckets. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together, especially if you're a Columbus Crew fan, for the one, the only, Miguel Berry, everybody!
Miguel, what's good, brother?
How you guys doing? You know, Columbus disrespect, I understand it.
No disrespect, but if you compare it to Barcelona, right? Yeah,
of course. But you know what? You know, my brother just came out here from downtown LA, and he was pleasantly surprised with how nice Columbus is. And I think a lot of people around the country would be too. But you know, I understand. I'll take the joke and I'll laugh with it.
Okay,
love Columbus. We had a good time there.
Yeah, we did. We did a show there. We had a good time. It's if anything, if you're here to just change the narrative about Columbus, then that's all good. All right. We have our New York bias, you know.
New York is a bit bigger than Columbus. So I'll give you that.
Just a little bit. A little different. The pizza's a little different out here.
let's start getting to know you a little bit better. You know, when people hear about you, they obviously. They see the you know, born in Barcelona, two American parents, and not two, but two, you know what I mean? but that journey, like, what was the, your introduction to the sport? Did your parents push you into it? Was it just a natural thing to do in Barcelona? And then when you got to the United States, it was like, well, okay, where am I going to go play?
Well, I'm lucky enough to have an older brother. So, you know, everything he did, I did. Yeah. And he was the first in the family to play soccer out there. And I think it's, like you said, it's something naturally you do out there. You know, if you're not playing soccer, you're probably the weird kid. We got straight into that, you know, at an early age. And like you said, you know, when you come to America, it's we immediately found, you know, try to find a local club. And I think the level was a bit different than I was used to in Spain, for sure. But you know, it was one of those things that, you
I mean,
know,
just
I
say, just say they were trash. I was good. They were
I was better than everybody. It worked out great for him.
I went from learning like the, you know, principles of tiki taka to playing with guys doing cartwheels on the field. So yeah. it was definitely like a big shock for me. But I think it took me a couple of years to get used to. But you know, it's grown so much since then. So it's crazy to see all these young kids. I think, you know, compared to, you know, when I was a kid, the way soccer was in this country, it's already moved on, you know, so much in the last 15 years. So it's incredible. I'm really happy to see that.
Yeah. And in fact, you took sort of a, you know, a different route, right? You went to the San Diego Loyal. What was that like being coached by Landon Donovan? You know what I mean? Just a legend. I mean, the guy's done everything.
Yeah, it was awesome. It's the first time in my life I've had a forward who's been a coach, my coach as well. So that was that in itself, not to mention probably one of the best American ones ever. So yeah. that was incredible. And, you know, the first couple of times I met him, I thought, oh, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be so cool. It's Landon Donovan. And then you realize he's just a normal guy. You know, he's a normal guy who knows, you know, a lot about soccer. So that was incredibly, you know, helpful and nice. And I mean, he took me in and he treated me like I was on, you know, you're on loan. And I was there, I think, a total of 14 games over 2 years. So not, I think 2 months over 2 years. So it wasn't a whole lot of time, but it was the kind of thing where he, you know, really like treated me like I was on the team long-term and helped me grow as a player.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there has to be that, like, you mentioned, being coached by a forward, and it brought to my mind, like, every coach is like a goalkeeper or a center back. I'm like, what is it about being a forward that there must be like that diva-ness where I'm like, I ain't gotta tell you what to do. Just get me the ball.
They retire. They got time for that.
No, you know what it is? We like to blame everyone else. So,
right.
So exactly. So that doesn't make a good coach. We don't like the problem solved. It's, you know, everyone else's problem. Hey, get me the ball.
The issue is the 10 guys behind me. I don't know what to tell you.
You know, if only they were doing what they're supposed to do, I'd look a lot better. Did they ever try to move you into the midfield or a defender? Because every defender we've ever spoken to was like, I started out as a forward. Now I'm a center back. Did they try to do that with you at some point in your youth career as well?
When I was in Spain, my coach, I went from scoring all these goals at striker to insisting, my coach insisted on me learning how to play right back in Spain. So he wanted to give me complete knowledge of the game. So he moved me to right back, unless we needed a goal, then he could move back up front. But he moved me to right back. And then I think I came to America and I played some center midfield because I was, you know, I think I was, you know, technically, you know, a bit at a higher level than some of the guys when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. You know, I played some center midfield, but, and some winger when I was smaller and other guys are bigger than me, but you know, I've always been a striker. I've always been a goal scorer.
Right.
So that's what I've always seen.
And
myself.
It looks very, you know, it's obviously a very, you look natural doing it, especially for the Columbus Crew. You know, the minutes that you are getting and obviously, you know, Jazzy Zardes is dealing with an injury right now. So, and trying to, make that playoff push. It feels like a lot is going to be asked of you in these next few games. What have you kind of learned from playing behind the striker like Giazzi? And then also, what is the coaching staff? What's Caleb Porter asking of you in these like very, very difficult and important games?
I think I'm probably the luckiest guy. I mean, Giassi's probably the best guy in the league to play behind, if I'm being honest. You know, worse if you want to play, because that guy's always fit, and he can run more than anyone I've ever seen. But in terms of learning, I mean, that guy, first of all, he's an unbelievable human being. And, you know, in terms of his work rate and in training and in games, it's just second to none around the league. And I think he's so undervalued and underappreciated. And it's painful to see sometimes what people say about him.
I can't stand it, bro.
He's wild.
He's so good. He's so underrated and so good. And really, I just try to emulate him. I think my last goal against New York Red Bull, I mean, I think it was Giassi Zardes' goal.
Right.
The most Giassi Zardes' goal, you know, you could score, you know, a little near post run. And I've seen him do it so many times. So I'm lucky to learn from him. And I think, you know, Caleb in these games, I think he expects me to do it as much as I can do to do what Giassi does, which that's work defensively first and you know, kind of set the tone for the team and put the ball in the back of the net. So, you know, it's obviously a tall order because Giassi is one of the league's best, but, you know, I really think I can fill in and do
and
it.
And both so. SoCal guys, you know, both Southern California dudes just hanging out in the Midwest. When you look at the type of, like, what the style of play of Columbus demands of a forward seems to me like it's different than most other clubs in the league, right? Like, you kind of have to understand where the ball is going to go. You've got to make those certain runs. You've got to be in certain spaces. But the benefit to that is you could literally just put your foot out. And it seems like where the cross is coming from, it's going to go in the goal. At least from watching Giazzi play, and especially the goal you scored against, you know, New York, it seems like all you really got to do is get one good touch on it and redirect it. Have you needed to change the way you've sort of learned and developed in the game? Or do you think this fits right in with sort of how you play?
Honestly, I think going back to like my college, I don't think it fits at all in really how I played in college. But the beauty of the system is that, you know, if you're willing to put in the work, it'll reward you. In theory and in practice, I think defensively, I think we're asked to do more than any other forwards in the league. I don't think that's a lie. Maybe you could look at Red Bull and say their pressing system or San Jose, maybe in their man to man. But I think in terms of structurally defending, I think you have to defend more than any team in the league. And, defending is not as fun, but, you know, like you said, you know, if you have that structure around, you know where to be, it makes it easier to make those runs. And you're not so not that you're ever lost out there, but it's, I think, the structure kind of gives you ideas and things that you'll see in games, and it'll crop up, and hopefully, you know, you're there to stick out your foot, right, like right. You said, and score. Although I like to think I did a little bit more.
You certainly did.
Just stick out my foot. But,
yeah, Miguel's just lounging out there, yeah, and all of a sudden.
Actually, he was in a hammock, and he just stuck his foot out of the hammock, and the ball bounced against there. I was like, you know, the kid got a hammock out there, but he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, when I tell my kids about that goal, I would have beaten, you know, four or five players and then whipped right, one in the top corner. They don't need to know. You know?
The official was on my back, and I had to get that guy off me. The rules are different back there, guys.
I'm curious about is playing with a player like Darlington Nagbe, who is I mean, look, I've played, you know, I'm not at any professional level, but I've gotten the privilege of just being on like a five-a-side game with ex MLS players, and you see the gap in talent very quickly, right? You get close, you try to defend, and you're like, you know what? There's no way I'm touching this ball. It is not going to happen. But I can imagine that professional MLS players go up against Darlington Nagbe and say, you know what? I don't think I'm ever touching this ball. I'm not getting the ball from this guy. What's it like knowing that you have a guy like that that has a magnet on his boot that he will not lose it and always get the pass, you know, maintain possession and get the ball where it needs to go? What is it like playing with a guy like that?
It's amazing. I mean, it's some of the things I just remember last year, you know, early in my rookie season, you know, you're in possession and you see him as like the neutral, you just kick the ball at him and he'll keep it. You know what I mean? You'll kick it at his throat and he'll somehow, you know, bring it down and turn. And it's incredible. And, you know, I think I've taken the ball from him in training in 2 years, maybe twice. So it's the kind of thing where, you know, I call my brother as soon as it happens, like, you have no idea what happened today in training. I took the ball from Darlington. But I mean, he's probably the best player in the league. And I think it's just such a privilege and honor to play with him. You know, another great example of a great person, you know, a winner, hard worker. And it's amazing to have someone like that in your locker room. And I think, you know, if we look back at winning MLS Cup with him, with COVID, it's just incredible what that team was able to do last year. Because he's truly like he's so important to what we do, and he's, you know, he's a human press breaker. Right. So yeah.
When you look at the defenders on the team, like, and you got to go up against these guys in training, who's the hardest? Because I love how it's not always the one you think. Like, who's the one who's hardest for you to go up against? Where you're like, man, can I go? You put me back at right back. Don't I have to deal with this guy?
No, that's the thing. I think they're all. It depends what you do. Because Jonathan Mensah, if any ball's in the air, I've never seen someone head a ball harder than him. He put his head through like concrete. It's incredible what that guy can do. And you know, Vito is so strong. He's got this one nail that he like doesn't cut, and I end up with scratches all over myself. He's got this like this his thumbnail. I'm telling you, it's crazy.
What does he use it for? Is it to like poke the
open Amazon boxes
to poke?
You know how hard it is to keep razor around? Me, man. You got one nail.
Exactly. You know, Josh always knows where you are. Josh Williams, it's incredible. And we got, you know, Buba Keita, who I think is physically one of the best players in the team. He's the fastest, strongest guy probably on the team. So they're all annoying to go against. And I think that I'm lucky. This makes me a much better player because I think every team we play against, I go, these guys aren't nearly as good as, you know, what we got. So
This guy clips all his nails. This is going to be easy.
Let's talk about Columbus Crew and you know, hopefully trying to repeat as MLS Cup champs.
Got to get in the playoffs first.
Yeah. There's three games remaining. There's still an opportunity to make it to the playoffs. I saw your post game comments after the loss to Red Bull. It's obviously difficult to lose in that manner and to drop points, but these next few games, what is the, you know, the sort of the your mindset trying to get locked in to be in this position, to be under this pressure, to have this beautiful new stadium and really want to give the fans a playoff game, a home playoff game, hopefully, or something. What is that feeling like for you in these next few weeks of the regular season?
You know, not a lot changed, I think. I feel like every time, you know, I've been in, it's almost been like a crunch time situation. So I think for me, it's just, you know, staying focused and I love winning. I'm not a good loser. You know, the fact that I had to do an interview after losing, right. Man, I'm surprised I didn't say worse things than it. Cause I mean, I'm a very sore loser. And so it's, you know, it's difficult. But I, for me, it's just game by game, taking one at a time. And honestly, the fans deserve much better than they've gotten this season. That's just the frank truth. I think every player on the team knows that, and you know, and I think we all want to give them what they deserve because they've been incredible. You know, I think they're really, everyone says it, but I think they're truly some of the best fans in the league. If you talk about Save the Crew, that's, you know, what they did was incredible. So, you know, I think we all know what's in front of us, and it's just a matter of, I mean, it's the toughest stretch of the season. I think we've had the most games last 3-4 weeks we've had, I feel like 6 or 7 games have just been back to back to back to back, but you just have to get through and push and really fight. And I think, you know, that's the bare minimum we can do is fight against Orlando. So I hope that's what we come out and do and punch him in the mouth and take 3 points.
Figuratively speaking, I want everyone to know.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Sure, yeah. No red cards, you know, just.
Although if there's a nail gouge in there, we know who threw the punch. When you look at coming from San Diego to Columbus, and obviously, look, friends and family, we get that. Move that out of the way. Forget those people. What do you miss most? And again, Columbus is a great town. What do you miss most about where you grew up, Southern California?
This is the easiest. Well, there's two easy answers.
If you say burrito with French fries in it, I'm going to hang up.
No. I was going to say Mexican food one. Although I got one good taco truck that I found. So, you know, I love it there. And the beach and the sun. I mean, I need the sun. We're getting to the crunch time here of winter. Right. It's already getting cold and windy, and I don't do well in the cold. I'll be honest with you. I'm the guy with the fur jackets who just looks ridiculous. I need the sun. But, you know, definitely those two
things. It's like 50 degrees, and you're dressed like it's 30.
Exactly. I got the gloves on, everything. You know, I'm a big baby. But
And no, how do you play in the cold?
Oh, I don't.
Like, don't put me in.
You have to heat your boots. You can't play with cold feet. You have to heat the boots, and then you can play.
Okay.
You have to put the boots in the heater. That's my helpful tip.
Same thing for guys who are afraid to get married. You know, you got to heat the boots so you don't got cold feet. Okay.
Exactly.
I mean, cold feet is usually what causes you to not want to get married. So yeah, heat the boots, my guy.
Exactly.
For sure.
I'm curious. Having been born in Spain, is there any of the like Spanish food culture that your family maintained at all, or did you just adopt the Mexican in Southern California?
I mean, Spanish food is still my favorite. And, you know, I moved here in Columbus to a place called German Village, and there's like a Spanish restaurant like 200 meters from my house. And I got so excited.
Look
how Spanish he is. 200 meters.
Restaurant.
I'm like, is that 17 miles or is that a few feet? I have no clue.
Yards. Okay. 180 yards. There you go.
Okay. Not bad. Yeah, in the cold, that might take you about seven hours to walk.
Might take me longer, but you know it's right by my house. Good Spanish food, so it's what I'm here for. I can't complain.
Okay,
but,
I do miss
good. Good paella.
I mean, my family's Dominican, but my mom makes a mean paella, bro. It's so good,
man. you know, and I know I understand we have a Cuban here on the call too. My dad was born in Cuba, so
let's go.
Yeah, there you go. There we go.
Miguel Berry, the maybe second or third best Cuban. We got to figure out where you are in the Cuban pantheon. Do you eat a lot of Cuban food? Is that something that's in the house?
You know, I do love Cuban food. My dad makes a good arroz con pollo. You know, great. Yeah, exactly. Tostones. I could eat tostones all day.
Oh my god! Now I'm hungry. Oh, this is great. Me and your dad are gonna hang
Miguel,
out.
Yeah, we'll you're go to a Columbus like, you're game. Part of the Cooligans family now. I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, it feels good. I got so many families now. You know, I got the Columbus family.
Dude, I'm gonna be in San Diego surfing, eating Cuban food. You guys enjoy the cold. I'm gonna go hang out with the Barry family, yo.
All right, Miguel. We have to get to our Gully Squad questions. These are questions from fans. The Gully Squad is our supporters group. Okay, is similar to the Nordic. Okay, so. First up, we should start with Andrew Johnson. Andrew Johnson is a diehard Columbus Crew supporter.
Big Crew fan.
Big fan. He asked this question. He said, Crew fans know the locker room is full of great dancers. Who is the worst, and is it Giazzi?
I don't think I've seen Giazzi dance, you know. Okay. I've seen his wife dance. We do, you know, and he just kind of stands there. So it might be Giazzi, but you know, Waylon Francis is up there, and he's very confident in his ability, but he's so stiff in the hips that I don't know.
But it's all heart. He's got a lot of confidence, but it ain't reached the hips. It's all heart out there.
You know, there's quite a few people who probably don't dance, but best dancer, I know you didn't ask that, but Harrison Offal is up there. Jonathan Mensah is up there for best dancer.
I can see it.
The Ghanaians can move for sure. Yeah.
He also asked, there's a handful of rabid Crew fans that have vowed to get tattoos of Josh Williams' next goal. A, are the players aware of this? And B, which of your goals would you like to see immortalized?
Well, I don't think the players, I haven't heard about this tattoo, but you know, I've been waiting for Josh to score for about 2 years now. So I think they're pretty safe with the tattoo thing. Which of my goals? I don't know. Probably not the second and third Cincinnati ones, because those were kind of gifts. I'll admit that on camera. But, you know, I like the last one. I think the last one was a good team goal. But, you know, maybe the first one against New York Red Bull. You know,
yeah, I mean, you cut the defender and put it through his legs. A couple of people. That was a beautiful, beautiful goal. It's going to be a big tattoo, okay? You're going to have to show every movement.
A whole back cover.
Oh, I think I'm worth the chest.
You want full on chest? When people wear shirts, you just got little smiling Derek Etienne poking through because you scored against this former team.
Exactly.
Okay, this last question comes from Ira Jersey, and he it's not really a question, just more of a statement. He says, "Tell us that the Rebels were crazy for letting Derek Etienne Jr. go."
I mean. I would agree with that. I don't know I wasn't in the league then. I don't know what happened then. But every time we play against him, I feel like he's Megan one of those guys and cutting them up and so I don't know what they were thinking. I'm not a GM and I'm not a GM and hey maybe I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know. Maybe Derek was too much for him, maybe he was making too many jokes in the locker room, but I doubt
Derek
it.
Is a
he's
friend
got that jersey
joke.
Attitude, dude. It's tough.
Exactly.
Derek is great. And you know what? He proved whoever he had to prove wrong by winning MLS Cup, getting an assist in an MLS Cup final. The dude is doing his thing. Miguel, thank you so much again, man. This has been awesome. We have a couple of pieces of business before we let you go. We have to first get to our Golazo gift. This is your opportunity to celebrate a goal on the Cooligans program right here on Football Sports Network. We will turn it into a gift that will be on that will live on the internet forever. Alexis will give you a scenario. So Alexis, what do you got for the young man?
All right. If you score this goal, it's the last minute, you're in there. Let's put you up against Cincinnati, right? You do another one of these near post runs, you put your boot out, you score. But just before you did, someone told you that if you scored, they would open up a San Diego burrito style spot and a San Diego taco style spot 15 meters from your house, which I assume is less than what you suggested before for the Spanish restaurant. You score, so now you've got all of your favorite food within a short walk of your house. How do you celebrate?
Oh man, that's a tough one. See, you know, I was gonna do something when you brought it up earlier about, you know, Memphis Depay, but, you know, I'm too excited to put your fingers no, in your ear like that.
You want to hear the
maybe like Serge Gnabry. No, you cooking? No. Because now you get the food?
I can't do it on camera, but you know what those Italian guys do when they, instead of taking off the shirt, they take off their shorts and they run around? I think that's what I would do. But I don't think I could do that on your show. I think
the standards would block it. We'd have to upload this episode on Pornhub.
I don't want it censored. So, but you know what? I think that's what I do. You know, I might get fined by the league, but it is what it is.
Okay.
It's a good one.
Okay. So, all right. You know what? Just for the sake of the visual, we need you to wave your arm like this. Yeah.
There
okay.
You go.
We got it.
Edit a pair of shorts in there.
Digital. We'll get the graphics team to add.
Yeah, exactly.
The CGI department will put shorts in it for sure.
Okay, Miguel Berry, thank you so much for joining us, man. This has been an absolute honor. We appreciate it. And again, best of luck the rest of the season. Is there anything you want to let people know about before we let you go?
Man, just follow me on Instagram, MiguelBerry9 at, you know, on Instagram. And you know, it's Childhood Cancer Month. You know, let's get that. Let's take care of that as well.
Okay.
That's something close to the heart. So let's take care of that too. So
great. All right. Thanks so much, Miguel. Everybody, you can make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels, at Football Sports as well, and subscribe to the Football Sports YouTube channel for full interviews and more clips of the show. All right, Miguel, let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So for Miguel Berry, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!